Bibles with me, please, and open to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and as you open there, I want you to think about things you like to bring to church. Anybody want to admit that they like to bring mints, you know, Lifesavers, Tic Tacs? I know Pastor Dan usually has a little can of Altoids or something like that that he shares around. Some people like to bring mints. Anybody like to bring their water bottle to church? A few people like to bring water. I won't ask about this one. Probably everyone brings their phone. I don't bring mine because I don't want it buzzing and going off during church, so I don't generally bring my phone to church. So if you ever try to text me on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock or something and you don't get an answer until 2 p.m., you'll understand. There are lots of things that we try to remember to bring to church, but I want to suggest to you, well, really instruct you from Psalm 100 concerning four things that you should bring every time you come to church. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should gather with the saints. That's commanded by God. Psalm 95 actually has a worship warning to not be like those who don't assemble. But in Psalm 100, we find that God invites us to come to his house for Thanksgiving, and with that, he tells us what to bring. It's not pumpkin pie. It's not ice cream. It's not turkey or ham. It's something else. So as I read Psalm 100, and as always, I encourage you to follow along, I want you to notice the word with. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing or joyful song. Very good. Verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, in Old Testament days, when people would come to the house of God, to the temple, they would bring sacrifices. We don't do that anymore. Do you know why? We don't bring animal sacrifices ever anymore to the house of God because? Very good. Because of Jesus Christ. Christ has abolished that entire system by offering up himself as the once-for-all sacrifice for sins. That is part of the good news. Someone asked me recently, why don't we spend much time in the Old Testament? Well, we spend some time. Actually, we're doing Ecclesiastes on Tuesdays. Small groups are doing Ecclesiastes. My wife is teaching Zechariah. So we certainly spend some time there. But we are ministers of the New Covenant. And the New Covenant is all about Jesus Christ, who offered up his life, his pure, perfect, sinless life, as the once-for-all sacrifice for sins. However, the fact that we do not bring animal sacrifices to the house of God anymore does not mean that we should bring no sacrifice to the house of God. And this psalm gives us four sacrifices that we ought to bring to the house of God for thanksgiving every time we gather. Four sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Take a look. By the way, just before I jump into the first one, how many of you are any of you having a big Thanksgiving shindig at your house? Anybody? You're the gatherer. People are coming to your house. Did you ever have people say, what can I bring? That's very common, right? Oh, hey, we'd be happy to come. What can we bring? And we say things like pumpkin pie. I don't know if we ever say ice cream. You can bring the stuffing. You can bring the potatoes.
Cranberry relish.
Cranberry relish, exactly. What a great voice, right? I bet that guy can sing. Singing is one of the things to bring. But before that, notice the first thing that you should bring every time you come to God's house is gladness. Psalm 100 says a psalm of thanksgiving, which does not mean that it's merely meant for the Thanksgiving season. It means this psalm itself is a song that is a thanksgiving offering to God. The psalm writer who wrote this down as a sacrifice to God. And that sacrifice was to invite all of us to come into God's house bringing certain things. And he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. This is an invitation to everyone throughout all the earth, from all the lands, to gather into the house of God to worship him. And that's only fitting, Because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift is from the Lord, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is the one who gives to all people life and breath and all things, Acts 17:25. And a right response is to come and worship God. But notice verse 2 says, serve the Lord, which in the context means serve Him by worshiping Him, serve Him by singing to Him, serve Him with gladness. Gladness. Why would you do that? How about the psalm that we're memorizing, Psalm 92, which we studied last week? The explanation for giving thanks is that He has made me glad. We sing that song, He has made me glad, right? We clap on that one. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, has He made you glad? Has He given you cause to rejoice even in the midst of your trials? Can you find reasons to be thankful to God even when your circumstances aren't great? Of course you can. And so God here is inviting us to His house for thanksgiving and saying that when you come, when you sing, when you serve Him in whatever way, then do it with gladness, not with madness, not with sadness. And I think we can understand that. Imagine you are having a big Thanksgiving meal at your house, and you invite others over, and you invite us, and we say, well, what can we bring? And I'd suggest that my wife bring her pumpkin pie. She makes great pumpkin pie. But how would you like it if they show up with a bad attitude? That could ruin the meal. So if you get to choose the tone at your Thanksgiving meal, you'll choose gladness over sadness or badness every single time. You'll choose a glad attitude over a bad attitude. You'll choose a smile over a frown every single time. Well, guess what? This is God's house. As long as you're in God's house, God gets to make the rules. And what God wants is when His people gather together, is He wants us to worship Him with gladness. What do you think? Does that come natural? Does not come natural. It doesn't. It comes supernaturally. We are born complainers. We are. We're just born, you know, like as the sparks fly upward, Job says. It's so easy to complain about anything and everything. Imagine if the first person you saw on a Sunday morning, the first person you talked with on a Sunday morning started complaining to you. That's a downer. Yeah, God doesn't want Debbie Downers at His Thanksgiving dinner. And so He's saying, come with a right heart. And so let me give you a very practical tip to prepare you for worship. It's super simple. Before you enter into the doors of church, just say, Lord, help me to be glad. Help me to be glad in You. Help me to worship You with a heart of gladness, just as You say in Psalm 100. That is a pleasing sacrifice to God. It is a sacrifice. You're going to set aside, you're going to give up things you might tell about the news, which isn't usually edifying. You're going to give up complaining about your car that broke down this week. You're going to give up complaining about your wife who didn't mow the lawn like you wanted her to. You're going to give up complaining. I mean, your husband, maybe. You're going to sacrifice that. And you're going to sacrifice maybe even your desire to pout and have a bad attitude. You're going to set that aside. And you're going to say, Lord, You are worthy that I should come to You with gladness. I'll give you another tip. If your heart is just having a hard time with that, do what David did in Psalm 103. I love Psalm 103, where David is clearly struggling to worship God. It's not easy. Probably had a lot weighing on his mind. And he starts talking to his soul, and he says, soul, I want you to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Then he starts commanding all of his other internal organs. All that is within me, and he's telling himself, bless His holy name, and he says, soul, don't you forget all of His benefits. And he starts telling his soul all the benefits and blessings of God. Very practical thing, right? That will help you. I do that. It helps me to, I don't want to come here on a Sunday morning as a servant of God, as a minister of God's word, and be a downer. I just don't. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. It's not good for God. It's not good for worship. So I hope that I've had a good track record over 14 years. I try to come to Sunday morning with a heart filled with gladness for God's sake and for the sake of the gospel. Second sacrifice that's pleasing to God, and you should bring this every time you come, singing. Bring singing when you come to God's house for Thanksgiving. And by that I mean come ready to sing with the congregational choir. We're all invited to join the congregational choir. You don't have to have a great voice. Amen. God just wants your voice. He just wants you to sing. Notice verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing, song, joyful song. This is fitting. It's an invitation to the whole congregation to come into the presence of God, ready to sing songs. And we generally begin our worship service with singing. I think that's fitting. That's really biblical. To begin the worship service with singing is actually, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. David would choose skilled musicians and skilled singers to start the worship with singing. And singing back in those days was something that was fitted to victory. Singing was what the winners did. It wasn't what the losers did. How many of you played sports in high school or college? Show of hands. Okay. How many of you watched sports in high school or college? Okay, all of us. So we know, all of us know to some degree, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We've all had some experience with that, with the thrill of winning and with the agony of losing. What do you think is more fitting to our God? Singing like those who are winning or not singing like those who are losing? God has given us the victory. Right, the Bible says in the New Testament, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. The victory over everything you can imagine. Victory over sin? Yes. Victory over death? Oh yeah, if you're in Christ, you are not going to be separated from God. Victory over the grave. Victory over hell. Victory over the devil. Victory over all of our enemies. We are more than conquerors, Paul says numerous times. So when we come into God's house for thanksgiving, you know what's fitting? A glad heart and a singing voice. That's all this is saying. It sounds simple, but you know what? It's not that easy. It's not that easy. It's easier to come into church all bent out of shape and then not to sing with any of the songs. And one thing that we might think, you might think this, by the way, you might think, well, I'm not going to put on some kind of a face or some kind of a mask as though I'm happy when I'm not. You ever think about that? You think, well, I'm not going to worship God with singing and gladness because I'm not happy. Did you know that the one time, I think it's the only time, that singing is mentioned in the context of Jesus Christ's life is when he was headed for the cross? Matthew 26:30. It says, Jesus and the disciples, he knows he's about to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's headed to the Mount of Olives. He's headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows he's going to be wrongly crucified. It's 26:30. And it says, they went out singing a hymn and headed off for the Mount of Olives. How about the one time in the book of Acts when we find Paul and Silas singing? Where were they? In prison. Singing is right even if your circumstances are wrong, because singing shows that you believe in the sovereignty of God and that you're trusting in the Lord to bring you out of the circumstance. Singing is actually a demonstration of faith. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus? Remember the two on the road to Emmaus? Were they happy or sad? Sad. They're sad. Was Jesus risen at this time? Yeah, in fact, he's right there talking with them on the road. They're not singing, but they have the risen Christ walking on the road right beside them. And they're down in the dumps. And what does Jesus say? Oh, you slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. See, not singing and not rejoicing when things are bad is an evidence of unbelief. Singing when you're in chains or when you're on the way to the cross is an evidence of your faith in the God who is sovereign over circumstances. So listen, each week in this church, we are very blessed. We have song leaders, we have a worship team, We have musicians. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, worship team. Thank you all who serve in that way. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for choosing songs for us to sing. We're blessed. We have all of them encouraging us and helping us to sing. That's fitting to God. And that goes back to the time when King David would appoint singers and musicians to lead the people in singing, and Psalm 100 is one of the songs that they would sing. It's a song of thanksgiving. And here it is saying, when you come together into God's presence, bring these sacrifices that are pleasing to God. By the way, they're profitable for you, as we learned last week. Bring gladness, bring singing, and third, bring thanksgiving. Bring thanksgiving. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the people, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It seems like there should be a therefore there. Therefore, or so, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Now take a look at verse 3. Who is the we and the us here? It says, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Well, this is really not talking about all of creation here. This is talking about God's chosen people, God's elect children. In other words, we did not make ourselves the children of God. To put it in today's terms, did you know if you're a Christian, you didn't make you a Christian? Did you know that? The sovereign God of the universe, in His grace, in His kindness, in His mercy, He has caused you to become a believer in Jesus Christ. You didn't make Jesus your shepherd. Jesus made Jesus your shepherd. Jesus said to His disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Well, here the psalmist is simply recounting this fact, and he's saying, we didn't make us who we are. We're God's people. We're the sheep of God's people. So when we come into God's house, when we come into the house of the one who made us what we are, we should come with thanksgiving. It's only fitting. We should come with an attitude of gratitude, ready to tell others about God's goodness. That's why I knew I wasn't going to be in too much danger today if I called on Miss Anita, because Miss Anita really comes ready to share words of thanksgiving. True? I mean, she does. I knew I wouldn't be in trouble if I called on Olivia to share something with it being her birthday, because Olivia comes to the house of God ready to give thanks. I knew I wouldn't be in trouble with Miss Jessica. It should be that way with all of us. When we come into God's house, what God is saying is, come in ready to give thanks. How many of you come for coffee and donuts in the morning? Sunday school time. Coffee and donuts? Anybody come to that? Oh, couples? That's pretty. We could probably up that a little bit. There's enough coffee and there's enough donuts. That is a great time to come and minister to somebody else upstairs and encourage them with something God's done in your life this week. When I come to coffee and donuts on Sunday morning, that's my goal. My goal is to encourage somebody in that room with something that God has done. That's a ministry. How many of you come to Sunday school? Okay, that's a bigger number. Good, we could probably work on that a little bit. Yeah, and when we start Sunday school, pretty commonly, Brother Brad, I assume Bruce probably does the same, when I'm teaching Vic, we say any praises, prayer requests, or words of testimony. Anybody have a word of thanks? There's a great opportunity for you to speak thanks for God. If you come to worship, people sitting right around you, right? Meet and greet. Well, we don't have quite the meet and greet we used to have. We got too big for that, I guess. But before church and after church is a time for you to meet and greet those around you. There's a great time for you to give thanks to God. Or during the course of a week, I mean, use that texting machine for something good. Use it to tell somebody, I thank God for you. I appreciate you. Thank you for what you did. What is the psalmist saying? What is the Spirit of God saying? God is inviting you to His house for Thanksgiving every week. And He's just saying that when you come, He wants you to bring a couple things with you. Bring gladness, that's your heart attitude. Bring your voice, ready to sing to God. Bring thanksgiving, that is, bring testimonies of thanks to God. And finally, bring praise. Bring praise. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. The root of that word is hallel, from which we get hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise to Yahweh. All this is saying is that when you come into God's house, be ready to give words of adoration and admiration to God. You say, what's really the difference between thanksgiving and praise? Here it is. You ready? Sweetheart, thank you for making me pumpkin pie. What's that? Thanksgiving. You make the best pumpkin pie in the world. What's that? Praise. See that? One is you're simply expressing thank you for this. The other one is a word of praise and adoration for who this person is and what this person is like. Well, those are just two parts of worship. God is worthy of that. That's what's behind all of this. God is worthy of that kind of praise. By the way, how many of you have ever heard of conduct unbecoming? You ever heard of that? Conduct unbecoming. Usually used in the context of military. Conduct unbecoming of a soldier. Do you know what is conduct unbecoming of a Christian? No praise. You don't speak highly of God. You don't tell others about Him. You say, where do you get that? From Psalm 33:1 that says, praise is becoming for the upright. Means if you're a believer in the God of heaven, you know who He is, you know what He's like and what He's done, then becoming conduct, fitting proper conduct for you, is to praise Him and to call others to do the same. This word praise, hallel, is all over the Psalms, but there are some pretty interesting things, like Psalm 71:8 says, my mouth is filled with your praise all the day long. And in fact, Donna Ray, I think that's part of that blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then it says, but somewhere in there it says, all the day long. Yeah, singing His praises or something like that all the day long. That's right out of Psalm 71:8. Another interesting thing about that word is that you should have more of it as you age. The older you get in Christ, you should have more praise. That's one of the commitments the psalmist made in Psalm 71, verse 14. I will praise you yet more and more. And he's talking about as he gets older. I find that to be true of me. As I get older, I have many more things to praise God for. His kindness, His mercy, His patience with me. Another thing about praise is that we are called to proclaim praise to the next generation. Psalm 78, verse 4 says that we will proclaim His praises to the generation to come. One of your responsibilities, fathers, is for you to proclaim the praises of God to your children. And one of the things to which all of us are called is to proclaim the praises or the excellencies of the one who's called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. What is this psalm saying? It's simply saying this. God invites you to come here to His house for Thanksgiving every Sunday morning. Come and join the choir. Come and join the worship. Worship the God who is worthy of your love and affection. And when you come, don't come empty-hearted. You can come empty-handed, but don't come empty-hearted. Come with gladness, come with singing, come with thanksgiving, and come with praise. Why would you do that? Three reasons. Last verse. Well, verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name because, reason number one, because the Lord is good. That is a statement about God's character, a one-word summary, understatement of the universe. God is good. Yeah, how good? Words fail us, right? But I do love Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6, and I've repeated it many times, because in those verses, God reveals His goodness in a single sentence, and He lists out seven things about His name that are good. Compassionate. Is God compassionate? Oh, yeah. Gracious. Gives you what you don't deserve. Compassionate means He has pity on us. He knows our weakness. Gracious means He gives us what we don't deserve. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. How many like that one? Oh, yeah. I mean, how many things do we do in the course of a week to provoke God to anger? But He's very slow to anger. Slow to anger, abounding in love and truth. When Jesus came, they beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. So compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and truth. Keeps loving kindness for thousands. That means He's faithful. For thousands of people, for thousands of generations, God keeps showing His faithful love to all those who will trust in Him. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, keeps loving kindness for thousands, forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sins. Those three words are three words for every kind of sin you ever do. When you fail to do what you oughta, and when you do what you not oughta. Omission and commission, right? And when you cross the line. So He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Anybody know what the seventh is? And yet, He doesn't leave the guilty go unpunished. That's another reason to praise God, because at some point, God has got to draw the line and say, I will not put up with the wicked any longer. Nor will God put up with those who will not worship him. Thus, the worship warning back in Psalm 95. This says, for the Lord is good. That's reason number one why we should come with these things. Reason number two says, his mercy or his loving kindness is everlasting. That means God's faithful love. If you're his child, he will never stop loving you. That's good news. You say, you mean there's nothing that you could do to separate yourself from God? No, there's nothing you could do. If you are God's child, I'm convinced, I hope you are, I'm convinced there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:39. Absolutely nothing. Jesus Christ said in John, we all know John 3:16, but in 3:18, Jesus said, whoever believes in Jesus Christ is not condemned. Romans 8:1 says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 4:6 says, blessed is the one to whom the Lord is not imputing iniquity. Wow. That's a reason to come to church with gladness, with singing, with thanksgiving, and with praise. Because God is good, his love is forever, and finally, because his truth endures to all generations. The truths of this book right here are for this generation. This is not a dead book. This is not an ancient book. This is the living, abiding word of God. This is the way that God speaks today. And this truth endures to this day, so that you might be saved. For all those reasons, and a bunch more, God is simply saying this. Come to God's house for thanksgiving. But come with a heart of gladness. Come with singing. Come with thanksgiving. And come with praise. Think there's anything you should leave at home? I was making a list there of some things you might want to leave at home. A, B, C, D. Anger. Yeah, I would leave anger at home. Because anger does not produce the righteousness of God, James 1:20. So leave your anger at home. How about bitterness? Is that a good thing to bring to God's house? No, I wouldn't bring bitterness. Let no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. Hebrews 12:15, don't bring your bitterness. How about complaining? Is that a good thing to bring to God's house? No, nor disputing. Philippians 2:14, do all things, including worship, without complaining or disputing. Let's leave those things at home. Let's put aside the anger, the bitterness, the complaining and disputing, and let's gather here at God's house every Sunday for Thanksgiving and give him the praise that he deserves. Amen? One final thing. And everybody who knows me knows what's coming. Could be you're here today, you don't know Christ. You don't have Christ in your life. If we were to look at your schedule this past week, we would find no worship, no praise, no prayer, no relationship to the God of heaven. It'd be blank. If we ever see you in church, we'd have no gladness, no singing, no thanksgiving, and no praise. There's a reason for that. No spiritual life. Right? The Bible says that if you don't have Christ, you're actually dead spiritually, dead in your trespasses and sins. God wants to revive you. He wants to give you life. Our church is called New Life Bible Church. Why? Because God is in the business of granting life to the dead. If you're here today and you don't have Christ, don't leave without him. Don't leave church today without forgiveness of all of your sins. Don't leave church today without the hope of eternal life in heaven. And if you have questions, don't hesitate to ask. Just come and say, oh, I got a question for you. Somebody asked me a question first thing this morning. I'm happy to answer questions. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth from Scripture, and you might not like the answer, but I will answer your questions from Scripture, and that's so that you might be saved. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you gather us here week after week into your presence for your glory and for our own good and for the gospel, because you are still in the business of saving souls unto eternal life. And for that, Father, we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.